Zechariah, remember the readings for this were Zechariah 2 verse 10 through chapter 4 verse 7, and we've read through that, but we're going to read the first part. Well, remember in verse 3, chapter 3 was that Joshua was standing before the Lord, but he had on filthy garments, and they took the filthy garments away, caused the iniquity to pass, and clothed with a change of raiment. In verse 8, in chapter 3, verse 8, "Hear now, O Joshua the high priest, thou and thy fellows that sit before thee, for they are men wondered at. For behold, I will bring forth my servant, the branch. For behold, the stone that I laid before Joshua upon one stone shall be seven eyes. Behold, I will engrave the graving thereof, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day." Now, and that's what the mystery that has happened. The iniquity of this land, and you are the land, you are the promise, because you're where the seed is. The iniquity of that land is removed in one day. It was removed 2,000 years ago. Nothing else is required. No performance standards. Nothing is required. It was removed. You don't have to accept Jesus as your personal Savior. He's already is the Savior, the only Savior. You don't have to make a decision for Christ. If you make a decision for Christ, you still got some strength left. The land has been made clean in one day by the act of the Holy One of Israel, and that act alone, with no help. All that's taking place in the universe is that our minds are being renewed to know that. That's the only thing. That's the only real thing. Everything else in the universe is an attempt to cause your mind to believe that it isn't finished, that something else is required.
Since I was there with my dad when he died, that it keeps coming back to me that, you know, that moment when, you know, he was saying, bless me, Father, he was, you know, giving over. And I thought about it today, and I thought, for a second, it was like, oh, shit, you know. I did everything wrong. And it was scary.
You know,
I just kind of like, then I kind of like ran the gun. You know, I felt like I was sort of just out there, but I knew where to go. Couldn't tell you where, but.
No, there's several different places in the scriptures that say that if a man, you know, it's that last moment. It's the last moment. It's the saying, Father, bless me. Father, forgive me. Otherwise, and all of a sudden, he looks at your life through that one seed, and that seed is Christ. Otherwise, if we try to keep one rule or try one thing for ourselves, then we're judged on the basis of all of our entire life.
It was sort of like at a time I was working on this novel, and I was trying to get things right, and that came to me. It was like, forget it. You haven't done one single thing right. And it was just. Total fear. I mean,
We had a strange thing happen today while Ollie was on the air.
Oh, yeah.
I was in the producer's booth, and the intercom cracked, and then there was nobody there, and it cracked a second time, and it was the engineer who was in another booth where I could see him, and he was coming apart on the board. And he croaked through the intercom to the producer, bad news, Tina just died. At which point the producer screamed, jumped up, ran around into the control room and grabbed him as he was falling to the floor. And I was like, the whole show went on autopilot, and these two guys are in there doing the show. And these two people were screaming and crying. The engineer's wife died while we were on the air.
Of her, of what?
Don't know.
They were separated, and she had gone into the hospital for some unknown thing on Thanksgiving Day, and they were separated. And what he, it turns out, what he was really wailing about was the fact that they had, you know, been separated before unable to recover before the death occurred, and he was just destroyed.
But what struck me was, you know, that old joke about, you know, at the Bible study, a fight broke out or whatever it was. I mean, it was like show business, and suddenly, wham, there was reality. There was the end of time and space. Boom, right there.
I've really gotten a strong sense for the what ought means.
It's real, and it gets this. It gets more and more. Ought, if you have ought against someone, I mean, that ought, it, what it ends up is, if you have anything other than pure, undefiled love, is ought. If you have ought against someone, go to them. Don't, you can't tolerate anyone. If tolerance is, all of time and space hangs on the fact that you have not ought against anyone. And, you know, that's why it's so vital that we, you know, again, and it, we're reminded at these moments of death, where we're faced with our own mortality. We're faced with this thing that at any moment, at any breath, every breath we take is borrowed. Every second we breathe may be our last. And that there can't be any ought. There can't be any spots or wrinkles in the body. So the exhortation is, that's why it says, exhort one another daily while it is still called today. Soon it won't be called today any longer. Exhort one another daily. If there's any ought, go to him. Be resolved. Amen. Zechariah chapter 3, verse 8. Hear now, O Joshua the high priest, thou and thy fellows that sit before thee, for they are men wondered at. For behold, I will bring forth my servant, the branch. For behold, the stone that I have laid before Joshua upon one stone shall be seven eyes. Behold, I will engrave the graving thereof, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day. In that day, saith the Lord of hosts, shall you call every man his neighbor under the vine and under the fig tree. Now, the vine and the fig tree are the two main symbols for the bride. The fig tree, because in many ways, I don't know, have any of you been around fig trees? Have you seen them? You know how they do, where they don't have, they look totally scroggly and scrawny, and the leaves have fallen off and everything, and yet they produce, in fact, those are the ones that produce the best fruit.
Actually, in the northern countries, they bury them. They cut the roots, and they, in the wintertime, and they lean them over, and they totally bury them. And then in the springtime, they dig them up and lean them up, and then they produce incredible fruit.
Wow. Just like grapevines.
In Arizona, where we have, I had fig trees all our lives, but the one that produces these figs that are, they're bigger than my fist, and they're just luscious. But it's just this ugly, stupid tree that my mother puts Christmas tree lights on. She gets a big tree. That's her Christmas tree. It's this scrawny fig tree. And she just loves it. It's her favorite living Christmas tree. But it produces these, it's just ugly, scrawny, gnarly. You know, it's got this stuff that comes out. It looks like that. I mean, it's just, but it produces the most incredible figs that you can drink.
That explains a lot.
What are you talking about?
The fact that your mother would highly prize and decorate and venerate this twisted, gnarly, ugly tree just, to me, explains a lot. Maybe it's just me.
It's a magic girl.
I assure you,
it's just you. No, it's just me. Excuse me.
And of course, the symbolism for the vine, or the wine, the grapevine, is that the more suffering the vine endures, most terrible the winters, the more severe the drought, the best grapes fall for the wine.
Speaking of which, this year California is going to be Fry's Harvest.
Sure. We need to contact this guy.
Okay. They particularly do well after fires.
Well, what it was is that it was a real foggy, very high humidity, so the sugar content got up, but they would never ripen, and then right at the very end, when they thought they were going to lose everything, they had a lot of hot, dry days.
Now, what does it mean, one stone up on seven eyes?
Well, the stone is Christ. The seven eyes are the seven spirit, what's called elsewhere, the seven spirits of God. It doesn't mean God's got to remember seven spirits, but what it means is there are seven aspects to the Holy Spirit of God. There are seven ministries that the Holy Spirit of God, and it's connected with the candlesticks in the temple. And if we ever get to that, we'll go into it in great detail.
The tabernacle. We have a slideshow. I have the slides.
Well, we have a weekend where you talk about all the stuff you always say you're going to talk about.
Sure. We have the slides.
We're ready in this one. I'll tell you, we're ready.
We have folders that we made up.
Little slides with
diagrams and
diagrams and little pointer thingy. I can play General Schwarzkopf up here.
You camp out in my living room.
Put a little uniform on.
For exercise, we can hike to your back.
We can get up a purple wig like Dame Edna. That's really cool.
Ooh. Tell Jack.
Now he'd look good like the ACDC. It's a
cultural
reference.
Runs around the little
shorts, and the angel that talked with me came again and waked me as a man that is awakened out of his sleep and said unto me, What seest thou? And I said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick all of gold with a bowl upon the top of it and his seven lamps thereon and seven pipes to the seven lamps which are upon the top thereof. Now what he's talking about is This is the candlestick that's inside the holy place. Not the Holy of Holies, but the holy place.
Is this where they get the menorah with the seven?
No. The menorah has eight.
Oh.
This is a totally different thing. But this is inside the holy place. It's the lights that have to be going 24 hours a day in the holy place. It's next to the altar of incense and next to the table of showbread. And these are all aspects. And two olive trees by it. One upon the right side of the bowl, and the other upon the left side thereof. And I answered and spake to the angel that talked with me, saying, What are these, my Lord? And the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, Thou knowest thou not what these be? And I said, No, my Lord. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? Thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying grace unto it. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. Now, Zerubbabel, when the captives returned from Babylon, the book of Nehemiah and Haggai and Ezra, they were charged with the rebuilding of the temple. And for 16 years, they did nothing but sit around with their thumbs where it shouldn't be. And they had finished two things. What?
Oh, we're just talking about
the drink.
Anyway, for 16 years, the man that came and returned from Babylon with all of the resources. Let's go to Haggai.
Now, where's this taking place at?
This is taking place in the spirit.
Oh.
But Haggai is going to show that when we look at Haggai, it will show us where it's, what it looks like naturally.
You can be.
Your king's zone. It'll last.
I'm just kind of
making Haggai is right before Zechariah.
Turn two pages and you got it.
This is probably the worst thing that what we're about to read is like the worst thing that God can say to you. You ready?
Verse chapter.
Go ahead. Take your best shot. Haggai and Zechariah spoke, and Nehemiah and Ezra spoke at the same time. You understand? They were the guys. They were like the leader guys. Okay?
I was going to say, that's why nobody understood.
It's an unruly. Yeah.
Minor prophet heckling.
Verse 2. Okay, forget what I said.
Which part?
Zechariah and Haggai spoke at the same time, and they were concerned with this phenomenon when they first began to return from the captivity to rebuild the temple. The temple had been laid waste, and this is really the second temple. The first temple was Solomon's temple. The second temple is Zerubbabel's temple. And the third temple is the temple of Herod, the one of Jesus. Okay, you understand that? In the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, This people say, The time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Now remember, they had returned from captivity with all of the resources necessary to build the house, and they got there, and now for 16 years they've been sitting around. They've done two things. They have built the altar and they built the cornerstone. That's the only two things that are there. Sort of reminds you of right now?
Yeah.
We have the altar, which is the altar that's always been. And you build the altar by understanding the altar. The same word, bana. And Christ is the chief cornerstone. We have the altar and the cornerstone. Everything that's necessary is here. Now, the injunction against those people cannot be understood unless you understand it's an injunction against you. Tonight. Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, This people say the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Why? They're saying, because I've got something else to do. Then came the word of the Lord by the Haggai, the prophet, saying, Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses? In this house lie waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. And again, you cannot understand this if you think it means for them back there or if you think it means for someone else. It's you that he's talking to. You've sown much, you bring in little, you eat, but you have not enough, you drink, but you are not filled with drink, you clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put into a bag with holes. Does that sound familiar to any of you? You earn wages to put in a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. You looked for much. Great plans. Great, wonderful plans. You looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts, because of mine house that is waste, and you run every one unto his own house. Therefore the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. And I call for a drought upon the land, and upon the mountains, and upon the corn, and upon the new wine, and upon the oil, and upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon men, and upon cattle, and upon all the labor of the hands. Then Zerubbabel, the son of, Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God, and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him. And the people did fear before the Lord. Then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, and the Lord's in the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. Again, they repented. Whack! God says, I'm with you. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and did work in the house of the Lord of hosts, their God, in the 24th day of the 6th month, in the 2nd year of Darius the king. Now in the 7th month, in the 21st day of the month, came the word of the Lord by the prophet Haggai, saying, Speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, and to the residue of the people, saying, Who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? And how do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing? You know what they're saying? The first temple, Solomon's temple, had all kinds of stuff. It had the Ark of the Covenant. It had the Shekinah glory of God, the Spirit of God. It had the tables of the manna from heaven. It had the original tablets of the Ten Commandments. It had Aaron's rod budding.
And the tabernacle.
It had the original tabernacle. It had the Uman and the Thuman, which were the mystical stones of go or no go. It had all these things that defined the mystery of the kingdom of God. All of them a parable, all of them types that show aspects of the fullness of Christ. This house was just a house. This is a... Okay, now watch. Who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory, and how do you see it now? Is it nothing? Is it not in your eyes in comparison as of nothing? Now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord. Be strong, O Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest. And be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work. For I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. According to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remaineth among you, fear not. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once, it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with the glory, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, this is repeated in the book of Hebrews, when he talks about we are not coming to this mountain that cannot be touched, nor are we come unto this place called Jerusalem, but we're coming unto the heavenly mount, the new Jerusalem. And in order for that new Jerusalem, which is the overriding reality for us all, 24 hours a day, we are seated permanently on the mercy seat. Nothing can take us off. In order for that to be tested and seen, he's shaking all things in your life. And he's shaking, and if he's shaking all things in your life, just think what he's about to do to the world. Judgment must first begin at the house of God. All things shall be shaken, so that only that which is unshakable can remain. Now, let's go on. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. The glory of the latter house. Notice that the word this is not, it should be the glory of the latter house shall be greater than that of the former. Who's the latter house?
Jerusalem.
Huh? The New Jerusalem. What are the stones of the, what's the building blocks of the New Jerusalem?
We are.
You are. You are the stones. The living stones. The lively stones. The glory of the latter house shall be greater than that of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. Now on the 24th day of the 9th month, in the 2nd year of Darius, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Ask now the priests, concerning the law, saying, if one bear holy flesh in the skirt of his garment, and with his skirt do touch bread or pottage or wine or oil or any meat, shall it be holy? And the priest answered and said, no. Then said Haggai, if one that is unclean by a dead body touch any of these, shall it be unclean? And the priest answered and said, it shall be unclean. Then answered Haggai and said, so is this people, and so is this nation before me, saith the Lord. And so is every one of their hands that which they offer there is unclean. And now I pray you, consider from this day and upward, from before a stone was laid upon a stone in the temple of the Lord, since those days were when one came to a heap of 20 measures, there were but 10. When one came to the press fat for to draw 50 vessels of the press, there were but 20. And I smote you with blasting and with mildew and with hail and all the labors of your hands. And yet you turn not to me, saith the Lord. Consider now from this day and upward, from the 24th day of the 9th month, even from the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider it. Is this seed yet in the barn? Yea, as yet the vine and the fig tree and the pomegranate and the olive tree hath not brought fruit, from this day will I bless you. And again the word of the Lord came unto Haggai on the 24th day of the month, saying, speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, saying, I will shake the heavens and the earth, and I will overthrow the throne of kingdoms, and I will destroy the strength of the kingdoms of the heathen, and I will overthrow with chariots the chariots and those that ride in them, and the horses and their riders shall come down, every one by the sword of his brother. And that day, saith the Lord of hosts, I will take thee, O Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, thus said the Lord, and I will make thee as a signet, for I have chosen thee, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, since all things, since the battle is no longer against flesh and blood, you understand that? We war not against flesh and blood, but against the spiritual wickedness in the high places. Therefore, nothing sensory can be the enemy. And it's not some external thing. The enemy is here. This evil one that says there's something left to do. I've got something left to be. I've got some way that I have to enhance myself to act like I'm something. Whatever it is your hands find to do, do it with all your might. Do whatsoever you do in thought, in word, in deed, all is unto the Lord, equal. There isn't one thing that's more important than another thing. Now, if you can hear that, then God is saying to you, now will I accept your works. When you see that they're all equal and they are all building the house, that the only thing that's going on is the living stones are being shaped by the vagaries of life. That's the only thing that's happening. Can you hear that? It's never against any person or anything or any deal or any aspect, anything. It's not against Tilton. Tilton's, you know, I said, what did I say that to? I said a really bad thing. I should probably be flogged. But I said, Tilton was only a pimple on the bud of the whore of Babylon.
Excellent.
Well, when did you say that? Did you say that today?
I said that to some reporter.
Oh,
yeah.
I was gonna say, I didn't think I'd heard it.
Probably the one from Tulsa.
is that
Lagos?
Nah.
That's a great quote.
Of the whore. And now
he's been
whore. Oh, yuck.
What'd you think?
He said, and now he's been popped.
And he is the whore.
Anyway, please, hear this. Don't give one thing any more important than another thing. That's the takeaway from tonight. All things. See God is all and in all. See Christ is all and in all. See the mystery is all and in all. And one thing isn't above another in your life. In that, you'll have peace. No matter what it looks like. No matter what it appears. And you will be part and parcel of this building of the living temple.
Do what now?
You see everything equal.
Well, what did you say?
then you will be part of building called the Living Temple.
Well, what did you say about having peace?
Well, that's the only way you have peace is when you see all things as equal. Peace is the absence of againstness. You have nothing against you.
I thought we were we are our worst enemy.
Well, that's why that's why you pick up the cross and you don't pay any attention to you anymore. You abandon yourself.
But see, if I got resentments, you know, like toward the past or something, I think I played a part in it
Well, abandon it then. Pick up your cross.
You know, just give it, right?
Just let it go, yeah.
Okay.
Just forgive yourself. That'd be a good start. You can forgive yourself tonight.
See, there was a guy that lives here. He ripped me off when we were on the streets. And I really don't, I don't like the dude, man. But
if
I know what type of person he, I know what he was like, you know, before. He may be different now, I don't know.
Doesn't matter. If he didn't rip you off, you wouldn't have been here.
Do what?
Everything that happened in your life was absolutely necessary in order to bring you to this moment. If it didn't happen, you wouldn't have been here. So now you can forgive all in your past. You can even appreciate all in your past, because whatever they did by the hand of God to bring you to this moment. And you rest in that certainty. And because of that, you can even do this incredible thing. You can forgive yourself.
Yeah, you know, because I guess I ought to forgive myself for letting him rip me off.
Ripping off is an issue.
The start, that's right.
But see, you know, you gotta start somewhere.
That's a good place to start.
Yeah.
Anyway, I hope he does, you know, good and everything. I hope he changes or whatever.
Just forgive him.
I was told you pray for people you resent.
Well, I want you to do more than pray for him. I want you to appreciate him, because if he didn't do what he did, you wouldn't be here.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, I see your point.
Okay.
Apologize for that. I've just, I've been thinking about this for 2 or 3 days now, you know.
That's no problem, it's fine.
Because I stay up all night and think about all the people I don't like, you know, and I'll sit there and I'll write down it like a hit list, you know. Just think about how I'm going to get back, you know.
Well, but can you see that, how that is a poison to your system?
Yeah.
Then it has to be let go of.
Just
if all those people hadn't been exactly as they are, you couldn't have heard. So just let it all go. Just let it be. You can be at rest. Your warfare is over. Don't fight any shadow. Don't shadow box anymore. It's a waste of energy.
Yeah, you know, I mean, if something's happening, I should have taken care of it right then and there instead of waiting, you know.
Deal with it, whatever. Just be open. No, just boom. Whatever's there.
Okay.
Amen?
Amen.
Shut up, Crystal. That's enough. Anybody got anything? Any questions? Any?
Yeah, well, I just want to say quickly, I feel like I never heard Torah before. And you really do live this.
What?
What you talk about tonight.
I do.
Yeah, you do.
Zoinks?
No, I'm not saying that to like give you some kind of stroke. What I'm saying is you live what you just taught, and because you live it, I can hear it. I mean, I have thought, among other things, I thought it was an act. But it's not. I mean, you actually live it.
Harry was the first.
What was an act?
God, can I get one next week?
Well, that was great, Tyler.
Harry wants a free spin too. Like Torah lady got.
That was great.
Yeah, this coming to Bible study is kind of like playing Wheel of Fortune.
idea that one thing is not more important than another thing. I mean, it always boggles my mind that we could sit here and we could watch like a network show, right? And we would be on that show. And 30 seconds after it was over, somebody would be bitching and moaning about, you know, some stupid thing. And always, I was like, wait a minute.
Who would do that?
This giant thing just happened. How can you be upset about this?
But it doesn't matter.
Right. But it's just dawned on me.
I know. It's like when I was in California, we were talking on the phone one night, and he says, can you hang on a second? You know, he goes to his other line with his call waiting, and he comes back. He says, sweetheart, he said, can I call you back? It's Diane Sawyer. And I said, well, tell her. And I said, no. And he said, please.
I was serious. I was going to hang up on Diane Sawyer. Sure.
Tomorrow at the station.
What station?
Well, tomorrow, Channel 5.
Oh, tomorrow night.
Yeah.
I forgot.
How do we get there?
Well, if there's somebody to debate you or not, one thing that I tripped over, please. One thing that I always tripped over, and I would just like to bring this to your remembrance, and you do with it what you think is right or wrong or whatever.
She's giving you permission
anyway.
To do it.
You're billboarding, just say it.
Just say it.
Just build it on the floor.
Instead of, this is what I would prefer, instead of getting up there and say, I'm the slime of the earth, which we all know is true, we're all slime, if you would qualify it, then many more people would hear and understand.
No, what are you talking about?
Take it back to Christ and say, because of this, and Paul came to this understanding, blah, 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 and I have sinned, you know, if you commit one sin, you commit it all. And yes, I realize
I'm going to justify your slime.
I want people to understand you. And
no way. No way.
No, instead, I think you should detail the slime,
mister. Yeah.
No, that can't happen. That won't communicate.
Well,
the Holy Spirit will
take care of this doctrine, because
the only, let me tell you something. Christ spoke in three ways. The public, the general public, he spoke in parables. Mm-hmm. To the religious community, he spoke extremely hard sayings. To the disciples, he spoke openly and clearly. Mm-hmm. We get it all confused.
Well, I just, you know, wanted people to understand you.
They can't, they'll never understand.
They can't.
They won't hear. You know, it doesn't work that way.
That's why you bring people in for some help and some of them don't.
No, do you realize how many millions of people I've talked to in the last 20 years?
Millions. 30 million the other week.
Just last night.
But this is the only people that hear are less than 100.
And if somebody's not ready to hear it, they won't hear it no matter what.
Well, see, I thought by qualifying the statements, more people would hear.
No, they won't.
But it's
no, I have to trust.
It would be impossible for us. We have to die for them. If we had a spokesman who could say blah, 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 and everybody would say, oh, I get it now. You know, understand what I'm saying? Then we would, there would be no death for us in our world. I mean, we have to be in the same position where we have to say
it. Sounds so clear to you now.
What about
3 months ago? He was saying the same thing, and you couldn't hear a thing.
Wow. Hanukkah. Hanukkah schedule.
Oh, we're
still going to meet 2 o'clock on Sunday for here, for all the readings. And I'm going to give you a list of books that you've got to get for me by Hanukkah time. The Book of Enoch, the Sibylline Oracles, the Psalter of Solomon, the Book of Jubilees, and the 4th Book of Ezra.
Are these? Do women not have to cook?
Women do not have to cook.
Right.
The women do nothing on Hanukkah.
So on Thursday night, Daryl will make up the dinner list.
Daryl makes up the dinner list.
He's teaching.
Fried chicken and french fries, right?
You know, he's preparing, if it's the time of year, he's preparing the church on Thursday night. Some other man needs to volunteer to prepare the dinner list.
Harry's going to prepare the dinner list.
Tell
Mike
to talk to Jones.
Okay. Okay, take a big gun.